Hey, how y'all doing? It's me again, your friendly stranger, John Canal, here as your unofficial war correspondent of this world. I have a great guest with me today, Dynak. He's a former member of the Anti-Gravity Project. He's a political activist. He's an artist. And he, like most of us, is concerned about what's really going on in this world. And as the good guys do, wants to let us all know about it, too. So thank you very much for coming down today, Dynak.
Hey, thank you, John. It's nice to be here. And yeah, I guess you can add concerned citizen to that, too. That's mainly my thing that I like to try and get across to people, that, you know, you don't have to be in a band. You don't have to have a megaphone. You don't have to be some big person. It's just, you know, small things that average everyday people can do to make a difference. And that's kind of what, you know, what I like to bring to this this conversation here today. And yeah, thanks for having me.
That's how I've come to know you, is through different political gatherings. I see you there. You're giving out important information to people that you think is extremely relevant to this time in our lives, the state of our political affairs. You know, if you tell one person one thing, man, it could go around pretty quick if other people think it's important.
Yeah,
too.
You know, I mean, think about how often people gossip about just useless stuff, you know. You know, think about how that whole gossip cycle works, you know. Yeah. If you just want to spread some information that's useful to people's lives, hey, well, whatever you want to attach to that carrier wave, so be it, you know.
Yeah.
So just get people talking, and we're post-Michael Moore, Fahrenheit 9/11, big blockbuster documentary, you know. People are waking up, so time to speak up. What I like to do is I get a lot of documentaries, films, and just basically go crazy with two VCRs and just copy stuff like crazy, and get together in groups, show different films. The university did a great job, UW, about a couple months ago. I think it was November. They had the Global Justice Film Festival. They showed a lot of really neat stuff. And the turnout was phenomenal. So it's definitely, you know, catching on. What's the alternatives to this corporate controlled media? And I think we'll just touch on some of that, I guess.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, we're trying to make some decisions on what we might talk about, and it's so easily overwhelming when you consider all the important things that are going on in this world, the ramifications Bush's political actions and the tolls it takes on our lives, and it can become very difficult to deal with. And I think that's part of our problem, is a lot of people, you know, they would do the right thing, but geez, how can they deal with it? And I think the corporate agenda, whether it's maliciously designed to deprive our rights or freedom to speak, provides, I think, a sense of comfort to those who don't need to put in any extra thought. Like, it's perfect for Bush. Like, Bush tells us Bin Laden did 9/11. That's all you need to know. There's no need to research or ask.
Shut up, America. Yeah. Go back to sleep. Your government is in control.
Yeah.
Here's American Gladiators. Here, watch this. Here's some Love Connection.
Yeah.
Just stay away.
Yeah, and it's sad that so many people take up that given mantle. And it's scary, in fact, because it, in my own thinking on the subject, it appears to be elements of suggestion or hypnosis. You know, it's just people will suggest, as a hypnotist does to a guy on a stage, let's say, he convinces the guy he's a chicken. The guy, you know, for that moment in time, he actually kind of believes he's a chicken. And it isn't until perhaps you stop him on stage and say, well, look, doesn't a chicken have wings? You know, where are your wings?
That's interesting you say that. I was actually listening to an interview the other day that somebody had given to me. It was an interview by Aldous Huxley. He had given a speech. This was at some university in the States. This was in 1962, and they were talking to him about Brave New World and mechanisms of control of the society. And he was talking about control, manipulation, how to control large groups of people to, you know, further the ends of, you know, the oligarchy or whatever, like the powers that be. And he said that there's like a cross section of people that there's like 20% people will be hypnotized very easily. 20% will almost not be. It's almost impossible to hypnotize them. But that other percent is they will succumb slowly, but it requires an environment of constant, this constant salvo of media, you know, Bin Laden did it, or whatever it is you want to get across, whether it Bin Laden did it, or, you know, buy my toothpaste, or buy this SUV, or do whatever. There's that 60% that will be moved and steered, but it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of effort. So it's interesting to see the role of media and how it really does affect how we perceive things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, yeah, we're in the information revolution. Yeah, everyone has internet and that. But, you know, like these guys, these media conglomerates still have a lot of power. They have that box on every corner. They have a lot to gain from people reading what they want them to know or what they don't want them to know.
Yeah. And that's part of the problem, too, though, is that people are convinced, those who support Bush, and it's like a cult. It's very much like a cult. You know, they'll say Bin Laden did it, and then you try to reach out to them about what the American Constitution means when you're requiring evidence to substantiate the guilt of someone. Like it seems like it's really, really simple, but it's just being totally forgotten, and yet it's just the simplest thing you can imagine, and yet those who don't understand it or oppose it only do it, it seems to me, because they're under a state of hypnosis. Like you tell, like people who support Bush, they'll say, well, Bin Laden did 9/11. And then you'll tell them, well, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation of the United States of America, tells us through the evidence trail that they followed that actually General Ahmad, he's from Pakistan, he's an ISI general, but General Ahmad, he funded the mastermind ringleader Muhammad Atta. Now, I know there's a lot of words there, but it's just, as I say, like with the chicken on the stage. You confront them with it, and perhaps right away they go, no, I'm really a chicken. And you got to kind of push them again. You got to go, no, but why would you need evidence to substantiate an allegation? You got to get them. And like you say, it's like a form of awakening. It's just waking up to that. Like you can recognize when you become more familiar with the crime scene evidence that people are being manipulated, intentional or otherwise, and it's almost like a circular thing. You know, so one person thinks he's a chicken, he tells a bunch of other people, you know, we're chickens here, and some people succumb to it and go, yeah, that's what I'm missing. Yeah, I should.
Well, yeah, it's that too, but it's also I think people are so pressed for time, just trying to make it. You know, whether they're trying to get that carrot on a stick that they're never going to get. You know, I gotta pay my mortgage, gotta pay off that SUV, gotta fill my house with more crap that I'm never even going to have enough time to use because I'm too busy working to buy more crap. You know, like our society is so materialistically driven that, you know, we define ourselves by what we own, you know, what we drive.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, who we are in a sense. And I think we're being told who we are by the corporate advertising and
right, and
whatnot.
It's accepted.
And it's accepted, and you're not supposed to think, you know, you just, I mean, that's pretty common kind of.
I think that that's maybe perhaps some of the problems that we might have with the way the corporate news agencies work today. Like if there was more interaction where we felt as a part of the community, we were interchanging ideas with the national news interests. Like I, for example, CBC, you know, their news coverage is far superior to anything that comes out of American television networks. But
C-SPAN is good too.
Okay, States. Yeah, and I don't get a chance to see that much so. But my point is with CBC, they have a 1-800 number where people can comment on the programs. And as an individual, if I phone that number and I say, well, look, Bush's business partner, General Ahmad, this is according to the FBI, and you can follow this up for yourself, but Bush's business partner, General Ahmad, funded the mastermind ringleader, Muhammad Atta. You know, if you guys would like me to make a public comment or whatever, I'd be happy to do that. I just feel you're doing an injustice for our community when you silently allow Bush supporters to tell us about how evil Afghanistan is, while the true perpetrator who funded the mastermind ringleader is walking away with Bush as his buddy. And people go, yeah, well, that's just your opinion. Well, no, actually, that's the FBI's opinion. But my point is, of course, my voice goes silent. So at home, I'm watching TV. I go, oh, they're not voicing any of my objections. Oh, well, I guess it's too radical. But the thing that I notice is they don't voice anybody's objections, anybody's ideas. You know, you'd think with a country as big as Canada, there's got to be some bitchers and complainers out there. And there's likely going to be some people like myself that are going to offer some relevant, hugely relevant information regarding America's largest terrorist attack of history. But there is nothing. So I see that there's two potentials there. There's a potential for me to feel all alone and isolated. Or, two, at the same time, to recognize that all people could feel that way. And instead of us all feeling ostracized from the public arena, in fact, that could be a nature to our suffering. That because there isn't an open exchange, we can be made to feel powerless, and yet 99.9% of the public could be well aware that Bush not only was working with the guy who funded the mastermind ringleader, but him, Condoleezza Rice, and Rumsfeld put together a top-secret presidential directive strategy, as reported on by Jim McGlueshky at MSNBC News, a strategy to invade Afghanistan, dated September 9th, 2001. You know, when Dynak, you know, when I heard of this, I figured, well, I better call CBC. They're going to want to cover this,
right?
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, people? They didn't talk about it.
Well, one thing about CBC I find interesting is there is some good things that do get out.
There was one
thing they did on 9/11 that I thought was interesting. That was the Fifth Estate. They had Mike Rupert on.
Really?
And yeah, it was basically about, you know, prior knowledge and what, you know. They didn't really go into the whole Pakistani connection, and mm-hmm. they just talked to this one French guy who wrote a book that was quite popular, and I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, but you know, that got out. That was great, and that was prior to you know, Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11 film. So that I thought was interesting, but by and large, yeah, I don't think they're quite ready to take the. You know.
But and yet at the same time, they'll sell that image. Like every news broadcast they have, they stress.
We're so liberal, and we'll tell you all you need to know.
Here's the number. Only do they give you a contact number, it's a 1-800 number. How easy is that for mm-hmm. anyone across Canada to participate? So I can imagine whoever's running that, you know, that answering machine service there, that's where true liberation for our communities can be found. Like I've suggested, just put all the tips and all the stuff they get through their telephone on the internet at least. Say, look, this is all the stuff we got. We're ignoring.
Yeah, well, they have a filter and they have interests and they have, yeah.
Yeah, because that same relationship when it comes
like
to
any of them, so.
Yeah, the same relationship that when it comes to who perpetrated 9/11 and who's getting away with it so far. By not being arrested or hunted down by the American military and tried publicly, give them a chance to defend themselves and then executed for those criminal offenses. Not only are we not having those demands of liberation at least talked about, but we're in that same relationship. We have the Iraq War now. You know, in the Iraq War, to the shock of some people, and you can't blame people, we're all affected by suggestion to one degree or another. Nobody's absolutely certain about anything. So we have to, there's an implicit trust that we have in our corporate magic TVs that, you know, they are going to convey some important information and they're going to be half honest most of the time. But in the case of Iraq, we know if anybody has access, as I'm sure many do, to the internet, we know that there are plenty of voices that used rational thinking and arguments to say, there's no reason to go into Iraq as a military conflict because we have complete access as it is. What is it that you want to bring about for these people in Iraq, or what interest do you want to serve for the Bush administration? Because you can do anything but thieve right now. Like, you can go into Iraq, look wherever you want. They were in the palaces. They're under the coops. No delay, without restrictions. This was March 7, 2003.
Meanwhile, their art gallery there is... you know, 1,000-year-old artifacts are being pillaged and destroyed and robbed, and what's their priority? They secure the oil fields right away. So.
Right, and by CBC and all the corporate interests, the newspapers, you know, the newspapers, and I've argued with malicious criminal intent because I've talked to these people.
It
depends on who you are, but bad for people. Exactly, they're interested in their private their private profit margins. What way can they best exploit the situation to bring in more coffers for themselves? So why put money into research, as CNN just keeps telling us all about? You know, they have all these guys there that they actually pay. I'm sure they're getting $50,000, maybe even $150,000 as almost a payoff to pretend you're a researcher, and yet they put no time into these jobs at all, practically. We had, you know, the, what was it, Fallujah. You know, the nearest death estimate I can make is, you know, exceeding 200,000 people. They forbid anybody from leaving the city, 15 to 50. They didn't tell the people who were lived in the city that they were going to flatten it with 9 2,000-pound bombs, napalm, cluster dud munitions, using depleted uranium bullets to riddle every apartment block and house they could come across. You know, they've essentially murdered 200,000 people. You know, and are these not the crimes of evil? Are these, as Bush would claim?
Well, they're fighting evil with good, you see. You see that the rationale there.
Well, you know, so it's interesting because it's so much opposite to what Bush tells America to believe. You know, especially...
Well, you know, Bush, you know, like, he's obviously a puppet, and everyone knows that, but... It's not, maybe, I mean, as a president, we all know, you know, politicians are corrupt, so I wouldn't even expect them to tell the truth. But there has to be a certain amount of accountability when the news reports, you know, your job as the nervous system of a democracy is the free press, you know, to keep things like this from not happening, and so that people get informed so they can make the proper decisions and not just have this huge right-wing neocon echo chamber blaring in your head, you know, like the stuff that comes out of Bill O'Reilly's mouth is,
oh God,
it's
and Rush Limbaugh too.
It's surreal. It's not even, it's this, there's no words to describe that.
Yeah. Like I was listening to Coast last night, and you know, God, George Norrie, you know, he's done a couple of shows that were half decent over the last couple of years. But last night, man, he goes on and on about how the soldiers are dying for freedom. And they're just lies. You know, what is freedom without justice? You know, the Bush administration, like you were saying earlier about him being a puppet, you know, I don't necessarily follow that. Although I can see how people could view him in such light. But I take one of his quotes. People routinely misunderestimate himself. And I think there are two issues that just popped to my mind right now. He knows, Bush knows, he signed that top secret presidential directive document to invade Afghanistan on September 9th, 2001. He knows he signed that document. And he knows that the whole strategy behind invasion is to blame bin Laden as a terrorist but provide zero evidence to back up the allegation. This way, whether bin Laden did 9/11 or otherwise, he's going to get into Afghanistan, which is his objective.
Well, they've wanted to do that all along for the pipeline.
Yeah, the very last thing that President Bush wanted was to actually arrest bin Laden. Now, that's their military strategy. Now, you try to convince other people of it. It requires, you know, like you're saying, there's 60% of the people or 20, whatever. You hope that people would reach out that far, but it's difficult. But then here's something else. So if you're aware of these presidential directive documents that were reported on by Jim Mikulski, you begin to see George Bush in a different light. And then there's this one. This is a recent thing. You get these situations of torturing innocent people to death. Okay? Now, Bush and Gonzalez, they've repeatedly, oh, no, it's against the law in the United States to torture innocent people, so we don't support such conduct.
We'll just do it off soil, of American soil.
Well, you know what? The interesting thing under American law is if you torture somebody in another country, you get 25 years. If you torture somebody in another country and they die, you get the death sentence. And that's why they keep saying that, because you want to take away that law? Is that so? They keep saying that. But we know through Gonzalez's memos that they're prepared to argue whatever they do. So they got drowning. You know, they got waterboarding. They say, well, we don't really drown them. We take them to the brink of death. Or they got extreme heat and extreme cold, chaining people to the floor. Not only are those crimes...
They just concoct the situation.
Yeah,
it's an accident. You know, how is anyone going to fight it?
Right. So Bush, on the one hand, will say publicly he doesn't agree with torture, yet he'll sign these documents saying, well, it's okay to almost drown them. It's okay to put them into a room that's so hot that the person's hair all falls out. And they say, well, the guy lived, he survived, so he wasn't tortured to death. But the thing that's so critically important to recognize is that Bush knows he signs those documents. You know, he's aware of the strategy regarding Bin Laden because he knows he doesn't want any evidence. And you'd figure if you're going to be going after those from 9/11, you would be expected just automatically. You would want to follow the crime scene leads at the real murder scene. But he knows that's the last thing he wants to do because he's not going to be able to get into Afghanistan. A strategy that was worked on with General Ahmad, the guy who funds the mastermind ringleader. So, you know, we need this information to be publicly discussed, particularly as it stands, irrespective of my opinion. These are presidential directive documents. You know, this is the conduct that he's,
it's the
that
facts.
He's had. Yeah, that he's had. And, you know, people go, yeah, you're one of those conspiracy theorists, aren't you? No, you're the theorist. To not accept this as the evidence that has been put forward by the FBI and with the documents themselves at MSNBC News. You know, it is unfortunate that, you know, CNN and CBC have, with, you know, deliberate intent, malicious or otherwise. You know, I argue in some cases it is very much malicious, but that's my kind of take on it. That's my opinion, okay.
It's
but
people wanting to keep their jobs, and if you don't, you know, conform to the standards that this company sets, you know, then go look for work somewhere else. And a lot of them just do, you know. And if the standard is, well, you know, spin it in this light, you know, in this certain way or something that is more beneficial to the Republican Party or whatever, then, okay, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, it is like any other organization with hierarchies and, you know, like it's a corporation, you know. It's mm-hmm. top down in structure, and it's mm-hmm. It's like the military. It's like a store, you know. It's like Walmart, you know. You're someone that, you know, you're like whether you're that soldier there with the gun in your hand who's just told to do this or that, you don't really have an idea of the big agenda the people above you. You know, it's like, you know, okay, I'm a bag boy or a greeter at Walmart, you know, do I know what the goals and projections of that company are? You know, I have no idea. I just know my little place in that whole structure.
Yeah.
And
no,
the media is that too, you know. I don't think so fully. I mean, they obviously have a job of reporting the whole, I mean, that's what they're there to do, is to inform us and tell us. But, you know, it's been reduced to, I just want to keep my job in a lot of instances, you know, in a lot of instances.
I was trying to think that too, like you say, like in the context of a soldier.
It's the aims of those institutions that, you know, it's the people at the bottom that, well, like that's what I'm trying to say.
Like in the case of the soldier is told, you're in Iraq indiscriminately bombing cities for freedom. You want to bring them freedom. But you're really, you know, as Sattler committed the actions of the American military in Fallujah, you've just murdered a bunch of innocent people whose survivors are going to want to kill you in retaliation because it's an irrational evil that you've committed against God. But yet they're told as individual soldiers, this is a fight for freedom. You've just done this as a liberator. And yet you'd figure, how could they possibly believe that? And yet there seems to be some kind of real energy. There is some element of consciousness or of awareness that gets them stuck in against a wall. Like I remember in Vietnam, they had said the same thing. Well, why did you murder all these innocent women and children? What purpose does it serve? Well, we liberated them. Yeah, but you're broken. Your mind is broken. Your words make no sense. And yet it's like, oh, no, that's military strategy. Military strategy to get soldiers killed for nothing?
But you also have to remember...
You see what I'm saying about the fight for freedom, though?
Yeah.
They're dying over that.
You also have to remember, though, like 9/11, that whole situation, they have manipulated that whole thing so much. You know, if your country's bombed and right away, you know, the media is, I mean, pounded the war drums right away. You know, like they had their guy all, like the speed with all in which all of this just played itself out is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, everyone's fearful, they're afraid, you know, and it's like, let's go nuke 'em mentality kind of thing.
And there was that.
Eye for an eye, you know, and people's fears are being played upon big time, and you combine that with this controlling mechanism of the media just, you know, not giving people all the information they need to make well-informed choices, you know, coupled with that and yeah, you know, it's
mm-hmm. Well, again, with the
it's a hard thing to
Well, yeah, like you say, like the fears were instilled within our corporate news culture, and it wasn't by Bin Laden, and it wasn't by the Taliban. It was by those Bill O'Reilly type people that aren't doing their jobs as they aren't being honest.
They are doing their jobs for their corporate masters who have an agenda. So. Sure, they're being good employees. Somebody asked Michael Moore, what do you think of Bush personally? He says, well, I think he's a good employee. You know, he does what he's told in a sense. I thought that was amusing, but
he serves for a lot of interests, you know, and whoever's got the most money, he almost religiously serves their dictate. And I don't really necessarily think he believes in truth. I think he thinks all can be spinnable and the evidence can be pushed to the side. And it can to some degree. Like, I mean, in the case of the Taliban and Bin Laden, I mean, the Taliban were the true American patriots there, where they said, well, look, we want to have evidence that implicates Bin Laden for this crime. Otherwise, we have to protect him as an innocent person. Under our Muslim fundamentalism, we can't persecute the innocent. The guilty, we'll chop off their heads or their arms or whatever.
So if you look at the laws, how they apply, like even individually, you know, I kill somebody and, you know, there's an investigation and all this stuff goes on. These questions have to be asked, you know.
And
you do it internationally where massive amounts of people are dying and... What? Why does it not apply?
It's a breakdown. And you know what it is? It's
individually or collectively. What's the difference?
It's the argument from the fascists or from the Bill O'Reillys and the Rush Limbaughs. What they'll say to you.
You had it right the first time.
Yeah, right. Well, what they'll say is this is how they trick it. And it's a leveraging of the masses. It's a leveraging of the American people. It's a leveraging of the American mind. A lot of people, we can't call them sinners because they haven't developed fully as adults yet. And that's what many, if not most soldiers are. They're just kids, right? But what they do is they do this. They say, well, why should we afford the same liberties and privileges of justice to the Taliban? Like, why should we give them the same rights that we afford ourselves? They're the bad guys. Why do we want to do any favors for the bad guys? And really, that's an irrationalism, and yet it was there. You know, people go, well, you don't need no evidence. What do you need evidence for? They're guilty. And the rational, true American patriots would go, no, that's wrong. We want to actually follow the crime scene leads at the real murder scene to arrest the true evildoers. And it's interesting that this is interesting that there are writers who have written on this political relationship throughout humanity's history, and the earliest law that we have is actually Hammurabi's number one law. It's like the, you know, Hammurabi was it's the first record of law. But anyway, his number one law says if an individual makes a capital allegation against another person but provides no evidence to back up their allegation, you execute the accuser immediately. You recognize that that is the evil of our society. Now, I don't advocate that. What I advocate is a trial. You make the arrests, man. You've got to follow the crime scene leads. But yet people will demonize these people in another nation. They say, well, those aren't the people anymore. We don't have to treat them fairly because let's get one up on them. Instead of treating them as equals, let's get one up on them. And what did they do? They murder like 100,000 innocent people in Afghanistan. The Taliban are fighting for women's rights. You know, that you can see the leveraging again of the American masses where they're completely ignorant on Afghanistan prior to 9/11. Don't know anything about them. Like, they don't even know anything about Social Security today. Like, what's going on there? But, you know, there was this huge opening for the corporate interests to demonize these people who had a lot of bad things going for them when you compare them to our more developed, westernized society when it comes to, you know, fairer retribution against those who commit criminal offenses. Like, they're chopping people's hands off and everything. But their central theme of protecting people's rights was more American than anybody who supports Bush's was. They were more American to say, we need evidence. Without evidence, you're just conjecture. It's just you're just speculating. And then Bin Laden, of course, he says he didn't do it. How is he going to do it? How did he fly all those planes by himself? And those who say Bin Laden did it demand that he did it by himself. He didn't do it with anybody else. No, those 19, you know, you recognize that this was a crime that involved many other people. And the 19 people that we so-called alleged to be the hijackers.
It's the Saudis, yeah.
Yeah, so, and none of them are, they're all Saudi Arabians. But that whole storyline doesn't make sense in so many different ways. I mean, the identities of these individuals were guys who were pilots. And yet their identities were alleged to be stolen because several of them, seven I think it is of them, are still alive to this day. So you got to think.
I don't know about that. But.
No, well, BBC reported on it actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing about it is why would a terrorist organization steal the identities of still living pilots? Like it doesn't make sense unless they had plans to kill those people. And if they did, then why do you want to make it like it's a Saudi Arabian thing? Like this doesn't make too much sense to me. But whatever. I mean. Central guy, the funding guy, is where we should start. And then you, as I'm sure you're aware, well, there's a universe of all kinds of different things that are going on. Towers.
It's interesting that you say that, the funding guy, because there's this one documentary that was actually shown here at the West End Cultural Center. It was called Battleground on the Edge of Empire. And Stephen Marshall, the guy from GNN, the Guerrilla News Guerrilla News Network, if you want to check out their website, gnn.tv. One, I can't remember his name, but he was an American soldier, and maybe like a major or something, and he was sitting around with a couple other soldiers, and they were trying to figure out, well, who's funding these local acts of terrorists, in Iraq, like who's blowing up certain areas. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you know, we got to get to the money man. You know, we got to get to the money man. That's a great route of investigation. I totally agree with that. Yeah, who's throwing in the money to pay for this stuff to blow up, different civil buildings and innocent people dying and American soldiers dying? You know, great. I agree with that. Now, if you apply that to the Americans, you know, because, you know, Bush is a terrorist. A lot of people are saying that, you know, mm-hmm. violation of international law and a lot of things you mentioned.
Right, right.
Let's apply that same route of investigation to what, let's follow the money. You know,
right.
That saying, let's follow the money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, okay.
Well, like, but that's, there are tremendous amounts of fear in that. And you have to try to bring along the soldier with you, the American soldier. Because it's actually Bush's decisions that have put soldiers in a needless conflict to sacrifice their lives for no better good. Like, that's the important thing.
On the altar of globalism.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to articulate that because, you know, like, it requires a bit of thinking. Like, you got to say to the American soldier, you got to go, look, think about this. Look, you want to bring something better for the people in Iraq. Well, do you want to outlaw torture? Was there an allegation that Bush made that Saddam had committed some criminal offenses that he wasn't happy with and wanted to remedy? Like, that's – if you want – what do you want to do better? Do you want to improve their health care system? They had universal health care system. It's far better than anything America has realized to date. It's better financially. You're getting better health care services. You know, that's not a place for a competitive market. You want the best treatment you can get for – if you break a leg – you don't want a private middleman taking up 90% of the cash. So the healthcare system of America is shot as it is. But, I mean, was there an idea that Bush had to improve the healthcare system? Was there something about the way that they had their laws that he had a disagreement with if he wanted to bring about a better world for those guys? Pertaining to the weapons, like I said earlier, you had complete access. And then look at what happened with the explosives. So you're only talking about blowing people up and stuff. I mean, Iraq's largest weapons depot. So, you know, the soldier might not know this. This was Iraq's largest weapons depot that the IAEA had inspectors through, and it was all taped up, and they knew what was there and everything. It told the Bush administration repeatedly, this is something you really have to concentrate on because they got, you know, Jesus, I can't even remember, 170 tons of HMX, which is like C4. It's a plastic explosive, wicked,
and all
deadly stuff.
The uranium that they used during the first Gulf War.
Yeah.
Which I've come across some information just a little while ago via various documentaries and interviews and stuff. Just how a lot of these soldiers from the first Gulf War are getting really sick. And they're linking the Gulf War syndrome with to the vaccines that they were given prior to even going in there. and even being exposed to a lot of those radioactive elements, which are still there, and they're still, you know, in danger. And
right.
I mean, Iraqi kids are playing on these bombed out old tanks, and
yeah, well, that's
you know what I mean.
Like, yeah, well, I totally.
Their level of cancer has gone up like you would not believe.
Well, this is the thing, doctor,
and the vets, sorry,
yeah,
and the vets' benefits are being cut.
Right.
Like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, you've done your job, now we don't need you, goodbye.
Yeah.
Go die, you know?
Exactly. No, and the thing that's important to also stress is that the Bush administration, the Pentagon, those in power that are taking all this money out of the American taxpayers' pocket to foot the bills for these outrageous...
Illegal wars.
Yeah, these crimes... they feel it no interest to inform the soldier that there's any danger to this material. In fact, there's a Rapacioli. You can look this guy up. He tells the American soldiers it's completely harmless. You can eat it by the poundful. That's his quote to you, American soldier. And yet, the Pentagon's foremost authority, this world's foremost authority, Doug Rocke, R-O-K-K-E, you know, you have to put in the effort, soldier. You have to look this stuff up. But you'll find, as all the other scientists will concur with Rocky, that it's actually measured radioactive. It's not a theory. It's not a left-wing conspiracy. It's not a liberal idea. It's measured radioactive, and it oxidizes to microscopic particles, which makes it as light as the wind is or the air that you breathe into your lungs. It's a heavy metal. So it's like lead poisoning, but worse, because you also have the added liability of radioactivity. And it's it's got two properties to it, that it's insoluble and soluble. So it goes through your blood, through your body. You can't get rid of it, and it's constantly for, you know, too long, for as long as you'll be on this planet anyway, it's going to be constantly providing radiation to the cells of your body, mutating the DNA, destroying those cells, or giving you cancer, and there's no...
And this stuff is radioactive for, what, a thousand years or something?
It's silly. Their estimate's like, it goes 20 million, 20 billion, it's like, it's at least several million years.
In the millions,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, several million years.
Being conservative,
so,
they're saying
So you can see that the Pentagon has no concern for your life, soldier. As long as you're kept uninformed and beaten down by Bush's magical prowess as a mass hypnotist, like he just tells you, you're a freedom fighter, and the soldiers expected to romanticize it, like George Norrie did last night, man. You know, he's trying to get these soldiers all romanticizing about how they're going to kill all these people in Iran and Syria, and it's all, they're going to be freedom fighters, and yet they've thrown out the principles of evidence being a requirement to convince us who is guilty. You got Bush has got people in prison that he confesses, or through interviews of the White House officials, they have no evidence against these people. They couldn't actually try them in a criminal court for anything because they're innocent people, but we're going to torture them to death and keep them indefinitely. He's going to open up all these gulags all over the place in all these third world countries. You got newspapers talking about them shipping out Americans to be tortured. And now, you know, I think it's Alex Jones there in the United States, another awesome patriot. You know, he's there committed ultimately for the principles that America used to hold in high respect.
Well, the Constitution and Bill of Rights, which is basically the Patriot Act, just eats that thing alive. So, you know, it's...
Well, yeah, the Patriot Act. Like, I mean, what kind of assault is that? And just think about this, soldier. Those who criticize the Bush administration and those who criticize the Patriot Act are called anti-American. And yet, how can that be if you really think it through for a second? You know, Bush is opening up these prisons in the United States of America. He wants to get rid of this evidence requirement to convince ourselves of something. You know, he's just going to live in his own fantasy world while we suffer the consequences for not speaking out for our equal rights to be heard on these critically important issues, particularly when it comes to war. You know, CNN, they don't want to commit ourselves to covering the facts impartially. In fact, they'll work to mislead you, soldier. You know, not only will they not tell you about the hazards of depleted uranium, you know, but they're not even going to tell you about these outrageous crimes that are being committed. And as there are being reported in the other parts of our big world, you know, the people of Iraq know that Sattler indiscriminately murdered all these people as a war criminal, you know, ordered the murder of near 200,000 innocent people. And now you're expected to then go in there and placate hostilities. But Sattler didn't have to kill any of those people. He didn't have any evidence that Zakari was in the city. He confessed that much, as did Alawi. He used no evidence to substantiate his opinions on why he felt it was necessary to murder all these completely innocent, defenseless people. They weren't told they were going to flatten the city. Otherwise, people would have helped the elderly, would have helped the infants, would have helped the children get out of the city before Sadler, the madman, drops 9 2,000-pound bombs. Napalm. You know, it's worse than napalm or whatever. You know, and those are the things that they confess to. And then there's also some allegations that Bush, well, you know, it goes on. There's even other weapons they could have possibly used. And, oh, they're fighting back and forth. Yeah, but you've just wiped out the entire city. You've destroyed all these houses. The place is covered in toxic waste. Of course, the soldiers, you know, the soldiers got to eat that toxic waste while they're in there. And there's 10,000 soldiers in there today eating that toxic waste. And give them 5 years, we'll see them die. You know, and the important thing to remember, soldier, you know, you're using depleted uranium munitions, and we have the testimony you're shooting into apartment buildings, killing all these people, innocent people, for no justifiable reason or better good. Then your commander says, well, you go in there and look and make sure they're all dead or whatever. And, you know, when you go into that apartment block, you shot up with those depleted uranium shells. You know, it's full of microscopic dust. You know that funny smell? You know when you're smelling that smell there, soldier? Funny smell.
And no, it's not a leftover from your daddy's war either.
Yeah,
from
you know.
First Gulf War, it's a fresh batch.
You know, and so, you know, sometimes soldiers come at me the wrong way. You know, they think I'm being anti-American, and I'm concerned.
No, that is an absolute distinction that I think should be made, is that the American people and the American government are two very different things.
Yeah, well, I agree.
I have a tremendous affection for the American people. And,
well, God, yeah, no, who can't? I
exactly.
mean, there's so many great people and so many great things and so much great history.
And
that,
I think
it won't be as easily forgotten as some expect us to have already done
yeah.
so. You know, I don't
yeah.
believe that.
Yeah, yeah. There's I mean, the United States is a complex country. It's not, you know, I don't think Bush speaks for all Americans. I know Bush does not speak for all Americans. You know, there's a huge diversity there. I mean, you just look at the some of the southern states to, like, say, like California. Like, these are almost, you know what I mean? These are like almost two different countries. The states
and established cultures.
And established cultures,
yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, you got to understand that, yeah, it's a country that has been founded on revolution, you know. There's a great diversity there. You know, I like to say, hey, let's embrace the diversity and we'll all be happy and
yeah,
go.
Well,
but, you know, it's not like that, obviously.
Yeah, well, you can see there is a potential. I mean, the dream of America is to treat all people equally, you know, to treat people fairly. And in the context of the people, we should think of the people as all people. You know, like people in Iraq. I mean, innocent people don't deserve to be murdered. That's the wrong way. That's the bad guy. You know, that's not what we want to be doing. We want to actually follow Christ.
And right now the Americans are the bad guys in
right.
international view. And
right. And I think it's important for us to just talk about, too, like, why do you think, you know, one of the reasons, of course, soldier might ask, well, why would Bush want to be the bad guy? And you got to think, look at all the cash they're taking out of this enterprise. You know, they couldn't have Halliburton.
Well, that's billions of dollars in contracts.
Exactly. They couldn't have taken any
more,
of that cash.
More control, you know.
They couldn't have taken any of it without bombing the country and causing these conflicts. So there is an interest on behalf of the corporate interests to maintain instability.
But while, yeah, exactly, there's no profit in peace, there's only profit in chaos.
Yeah.
You know, and chaos that they start.
That reminds me, there is that quote.
You're free, and freedom is beautiful, and you know, it'll take time to restore chaos.
And that's it. That's exactly what it is. You know, it's through the chaos that they can commit what essentially in a orderly world would be considered crimes, like the Iraq Development Fund. There's billions and billions of dollars that have been misappropriated. Bush would say they're missing, but he ain't going to be calling the cops. You know, he's got no interest in finding out where that money went. And when we do locate where some of it goes into Halliburton's pockets. You know, Halliburton will charge the Iraqi people whatever. And guess, do you know what Halliburton charged the Iraqi people $600 million for, Dynek?
I'm not sure.
Gasoline.
And I heard they ripped off the American military even more.
A lot of
generals and stuff were just really pissed off.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And again, it's that relationship of, you know, the soldier isn't being represented. The soldier doesn't have a union. The soldier doesn't have anybody to speak out for their interests. It normally would be, you know, the president or perhaps, you know, somebody at Central Command. But these guys, they don't give a shit about your life, man. You know, look at, they just, like you were saying earlier, the VA rights and stuff like this. They just had the VA, the Veteran Affairs champion who's been there for decades, kicked out on his ass, man. He's asking for too many things. You know, he's asking for too much money. Yeah, times are tough.
And meanwhile, meanwhile, these guys come home with no legs and, you know, nerve damage and whatever else, you know. And, well, we got to buckle down, you know. There isn't enough money, you know, so... We're just going to have to tighten our belts and,
Exactly.
And here we have, you know, how much money are these guys making in oil and, you know, militarism and weaponry and whatnot, the guys who started.
So. Oh, yeah. Well, there's a madness right now. I know you're likely not too familiar with it, but, like, Social Security is going to privatize it. They've taken $800 billion out of the funds already for their own private use. And, you know, it's supposed to be a trust fund, but that doesn't apply. It's going to be good for at least until 2056, I think. And even then, some economists argue that there'll be no problems. And even if there are any problems, it might be a reduction in rates at that time in 2056. But Bush says it's going to go bankrupt. And not only that, is he going to put all this money into the pockets of the stock market where they still haven't fixed the scam that Enron ran? Like, Bush will take your Social Security, put it in the stock market. They'll then push the money over to the Cayman Islands, and they'll just create fictitious numbers in the stock market total board, and you'll watch your Social Security slowly fall, and Bush will say, oh, I don't know what to do, sorry, oh, well, 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 and the money will really actually be in the Cayman Islands. So he's done that before. But on top of all that, Bush... It does appear, on top of all that, it's going to cost the American taxpayer $2 trillion to implement this new strategy. So not only are they going to lose...
There's no money for healthcare. There's no money for, you know, schools. There's no money for any of that.
Let those homeless vets die in the gutter.
Whether it's Social Security, 9/11, or the war in Iraq, it's always a classic case that they play over and over and over again of problem, reaction, solution. Get the response to a problem that you yourself have created. You know, create the fear, create the, you know, Saddam, whatever. You know, he's been a business partner of the Americans way back. This is no new news.
When he was the bad guy, when he
committed his worst atrocities, he was on the payroll of the American government. So now you have this problem, okay? Oh, well, now we got to get rid of him, you know? What's the solution? Well, you know...
Yeah, like I've said before, like, I mean, if Bush actually had some grievance with Saddam, why doesn't he bring forward that evidence? And then we could publicly try Saddam. But you know what? He doesn't do that. And you know why that is? Because, hey.
Well, they're all guilty. That's why.
Well, yeah. But it's interesting. Although it requires, you know, several hours of show, and we could get into the details. So I don't really want to go there without having to cover the facts so people can, you know, better trust my word to be so. But, I mean, Halabja, just as an example, Bush keeps saying Saddam gasses his own people. Or did when Rumsfeld gave him full support after he had so-called committed these atrocities. Yeah. That's when Rumsfeld was shaking his hand saying, way to go, buddy. But at that time, these people were killed by a cyanide-based blood agent. And Saddam has only been known to use mustard gas, and they have the records of his weapons development during that time.
Yeah, I don't really know the full details.
Well, the cyanide-based blood agent was what Iran was using in that war at that time. Like, Iraq and Iran were at war. And this is where they say Saddam gassed his own people. But those people died by a cyanide-based blood agent that Iran was using in that conflict. No good guys, really. I mean, all war is bad news, okay? But the cyanide-based blood agent was sold to Iran from Israel. So there's an example. There's just one of all the examples, I'm sure, would come to the somewhat similar conclusions, where if you follow the actual evidence that Bush accuses without doing so, you find, well, things aren't necessarily the way he would like them to be perceived.
Yeah.
You know? And so he doesn't want to do that. And there's no money in that. Like, if Bush all of a sudden realizes he takes some magic pill and he becomes an intellectual and understands a bit about healthcare and decides, hey, a public healthcare system is going to cost the people less and we're going to improve our coverage, with the exception of private pharmaceutical companies. Like, they'd have to take some sort of loss. And these are CEOs that don't do nothing for science. They're not doctors, and they're pocketing, or the HMO guys, the guys who are running HMOs, you know, they're taking all the cash. They're not doctors. They're getting in the way.
They're building you know, like even here with our healthcare and our big budgets, you know, Romano says, oh, yeah, we need more money, blah, blah, blah. They may get it. That's fine, you know, like for the Canadian health system. But it's like, where does this money go, you know? It's great. We have more more bureaucrats, more paper shufflers that are with these increased salaries. Great. There's your extra $5 billion or whatever for healthcare, you know? It, mm-hmm. it gets lost in the bureaucracy, and it doesn't get to the...
Yeah,
to the people that need it.
Well, you're exactly correct, because the thing that CNN will never inform the Americans about is just comparing your system to any other country. You know, we in Canada, although every country I'm sure has its own problems, and there could be waste.
Yeah, definitely,
can be waste in all kinds of different ways, and there's people who always want to take advantage of the situation to the best of their financial abilities, but. You know, there is no other country where you have these middlemen like the HMO guys. Like, that's just crazy. The government is coming to you as an American saying, look, you gotta give certain X amount of dollars for healthcare. Now, we're going to take 50% of this money and give it to a CEO, but you're not going to know that part, and CNN's not going to compare your system to any other country's.
Right. I want to just get back to a little bit was the what I said earlier was the problem, reaction, solution, and whether I probably didn't explain it well enough, but we know whether it's the war in Iraq or 9/11 or the healthcare situation or whatever. It's like, the problem is, we don't have enough beds, hospital beds, or we got to go get that bad guy, Bin Laden, whatever. You know, there's the problem, but the problem has always been created. It's a manufactured problem. You know, like healthcare. You know, it's not serving people's interests. It's better if it's privatized. You know, we got to privatize. It's more efficient. It'll cut down waiting time or whatever. Like, whatever the scenario is, that same similar formula always seems to be there, you know. Take down a system that doesn't serve their interests, the corporate interest, and then move in and then take it over that way, out of the ashes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So... problem, reaction, solution. You know, that's the problem. The reaction is, well, we're always the reaction. We're conditioned to be the reaction, you know, the public at large in a sense, you know. Oh, save us from the terrorists. We need more. We'll give up some of our liberties. Just keep us safe. Keep us safe, you know. They always play on fear. And the solution is the solution that they've always had in the background, always waiting. It's what they wanted all along, you know. But the other steps have been concocted to get us to move into that.
Mm-hmm. And Alex Jones, as I believe he's sort of suggested that this might be their motivations, or there might be sort of a kind of grand design to move America towards a form of tyranny. And
oh, it's there. It's already there.
Most definitely. But with the prison systems and the way everything's moving in that direction. And you know that it's not being covered on CNN, but yet we have photographs of these places and people are telling us that
George
they
Bush
exist.
Says, this is the freest country in the world. Meanwhile, they have the highest incarceration rate of any country on the planet with regards to the population. There's 2 million, 2.5 million people in jail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And these prisons are privately owned. These are privately owned jails that if you want to buy stocks in this business, because it is a business, the more people in these jails, the better it is for business. Oh, hey, guess what? My stocks just shot up, you know, on the stock market. These are privately owned prisons.
Mm.
And, I mean, what? You smoke,
they want to push you. Yeah.
You smoke a joint and you're gone for 20 years.
Right.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah,
that's
madness.
That's crazy. Yeah. And, you know, some guy goes and, you know, you may as well just stick to serial rape or something, you know, because then you'll get out. You know, they want this out in the street. You know, they want that fear.
Yeah.
That gives them the reason to beef up the police state.
Yeah.
And all this fear and constantly in the news, it's always negative. There's always a shooting or whatever, you know, that's all you're inundated with constantly. So it gives them the tools to then beef up the cops here at home back home in the States, even here too. Like we're all getting, it's the cops are getting more and more militarized.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I mean, and that's the thing is, cops are, of course, a good idea, but it's that people under the banner of the police agencies will look for a way to profitize off increasing the criminality of our culture. Right?
Right,
so they're people who would espouse.
It's good for business.
Yeah, they would espouse themselves as representators of our police agencies, yet they're trying to encourage the
Are a lot of good cops.
And, oh, yeah. Well,
and
no.
Definitely.
And even, like, the magic of, well, magic, I don't know, the sort of magic, I guess, like it's the function of justice and justice and freedom.
It's that whole thing of bad laws make bad cops, you know?
Yeah.
What it boils down to.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I was going to actually a reflection of that in a different kind of way. I was going to use a different example. I was going to say that even bad cops under good laws make for mediocre guys.
They make for mediocre cops.
You know, they're okay. Like, you know, like I
he knows he can't get away with all the stuff he wants to get away with.
So, yeah, I've had quite a bit of experience in this, unfortunately. Well, not unfortunately, but I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people in our intelligence agencies regarding, you know, General Ahmad. Let's go arrest them, guys. Will you join me?
Well,
you know,
it's not that simple.
Well, it's not. No, it's not. But there has been, and in most cases, I haven't got anybody disagreeing with me at all. But there's been a couple of times when the guys were, I knew, as they told me, you know, they're very much Bush supporters. And then, you know, I've said, well, you know, you're forming your conclusions without any evidence. It's not against the law. But as a police officer, you're forgetting the principles of justice in that. But they're restrained by laws too, you know, in the conduct that they have.
Definitely.
So even guys that might not be, but people, you know, I swear to God, you people aren't going to believe this. I know you're not going to believe this, but one of my best friends is a total Bush fan, like real Bush fan. Like he's kind of crazy, you know. We enjoy a beer together, but we don't kill each other. You know, and he's all right. And
it's about tolerance and dialogue and discussion and having respect for other people's views, you know, whether it's personally and internationally too. I think that's what has to happen. And when people don't want to talk, you know, we're going in no matter what. Screw the UN, screw whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you're an idiot. I'm going to smash this beer bottle over your head. Blah, blah. What are you talking about? Left-wing nutcase or, you know, the terrorists were under attack. You know, that's always the rationale. Well, we were attacked. They attacked us.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Well,
okay, fine. They did, but... Who are they? What are their connections to the Bush family and et cetera?
Yeah.
You know, and who stands to gain from all of this?
Yeah.
And you see who does. You know, it's the billions of dollars.
At our losses.
At our loss. Their wealth is our poverty, basically.
And as a victimization, which is why the war is why we can term the war illegal. The reason it's illegal is there is actually no rational justification for it. You can't come up with an explanation as to why the country was bombed. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of people have a hard time dealing with that. But then that's the function of justice itself. Like, if Bush could have formulated some reason to bomb the country to begin with, but he didn't. He says, you know, Bush has been quoted saying, Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in. I swear to God, this is what he says. He's quoted several times saying this. This is why he started the conflict. Now, CBC and CNN and all our corporate interests, if you call them up, they're going to say, well, we can't report it. It's too embarrassing for him. And the fact is that's not a function of our reality. That's not what truly took place. You know, so this is, again, the function of law. Like, if the
war... It's too embarrassing.
Yeah, like, the war's termed illegal by the UN. Why? Because Saddam wasn't found in violation of 1441, which was the resolution. Now, Scott McClellan there, the spokesman, he lies to America, to your face. You know, like Condoleezza Rice lied to your face when she told you that these aluminum tubes could only be used for uranium enrichment. But the manufacturer says, no, they routinely sell this stuff out to other countries as reverse-engineered rocket canisters. This is something that's ordered by other countries to build rockets with, and that's Saddam's story, and he's got the blueprints, and because it's treated a certain way, it can't be used for nuclear centrifuges.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Condoleezza Rice took that position to say for sure that's what it was. She wasn't nailed for those lies. Specifically, just on that one alone, you could get her for that, but they don't. And yet,
well, if you see the not on that topic, but the prior knowledge, the clip they use of Condoleezza Rice in Fahrenheit 9/11, and if you get the DVD and under like the extras, they show the full testimony in front of the Senate
okay.
hearings that they had. And I mean, she was like fumbling all over the place, and she got nailed, you know. Basically, and that's the basic gist of it. And
like her motivation.
How? What do you do? Like, I mean, okay, people know, but the truth is out about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are the mechanisms now for these people to be brought to justice?
Yeah, you know what that's the thing. And we talked about like the torture thing. It is against the law to torture people to death, yet the people are going unarrested. And Bush, he just says, well, we don't like to do torture. Yeah, it's like something he opposes to, but yet we know through these documents and these memos and these agreements that's signed through Rumsfeld that they, oh, it's okay to drown them. That's not really torturing. And they, yeah, they're completely innocent. We have no evidence against them. So, like, yeah, how is that going to be dealt with?
The language that's used, you know, it's whatever. They'll just come up with an elaborate word. They won't say torture. Yeah, they'll just say information withdrawal. Something like that. All these terms.
No, you got it exactly right. Gonzalez in the memo there, he talks about the fact that we can argue about the definition.
Orwell.
Yeah, we can argue about the definition forever. We'll torture innocent people to death, Bushy buddy. And if somebody asks us, just say we oppose it because it is against the law. But we'll still do it. And if push comes to shove, we will argue it forever. Don't worry about it. You know, you're the leader of the free world. We don't need no. Let's go get some cash. The world could change overnight. All it would take would be a couple soldiers to, you know, call up coast to coast, get on the radio and say, look, I'm a soldier. I want to talk about the Iraq War. I want to talk about why we're here, why our sons and daughters are being sent out to further sacrifice for this, for this cause, maybe, let's say, and let's talk it through. And I'm sure most people would agree. I mean, you're not doing good for anybody by indiscriminately bombing cities and killing everybody that's there. That's a stupid, evil thing to do. And I know most American soldiers, if they knew as much, would agree also. So communication is ideal, is important. And I think by doing so, we only bring about a better world of understanding, right?
Definitely. Yeah, that's where it starts.
Okay, well, thanks again, Dynac, for coming out. And you take care, and hopefully I'll see you around. I really enjoy what you've been doing in the community. And, people are through personal contacts, we're changing the world one voice at a time.